Many other countries have an interest in the outcome of those talks, but none more so than Pakistan, Afghanistan's neighbor to the east. From Islamabad, NPR's Eric Weiner reports.
For the past 5 years, Pakistan has acted as the Taliban's window to the world, but that window is now firmly shut. The Afghan embassy in Islamabad, once a buzz of activity, is practically deserted. Just a few guards linger outside the two-story bungalow. Last week, Pakistan ordered the embassy closed and told the Taliban diplomats to pack up and leave, officially ending what had once been a very cozy relationship. Pakistan nurtured the Taliban, providing it with arms and money. Now that the Taliban regime has virtually collapsed, many Pakistanis are wondering aloud why their government chose to support the radical Islamic regime in the first place. Rasul Rais, a professor at Islamabad's Qaid-e Azam University, says at the time it seemed like the prudent thing to do.
We could not read the minds of the Taliban, how they were going to act. And this was a test case also for the rest of the Muslim world, that how, if the Taliban came to power, what kind of a system were they were going to establish, what kind of vision of Islamic law they were going to enforce.
Of course, the Taliban established one of the most radical Islamic systems ever imposed on a country. Pakistan tried but failed to convince the Taliban to moderate some of their more extreme practices, such as barring women from the workplace. Pakistan's intelligence services had lost control of the regime they helped to create. Former Pakistani Senator Shafqat Mahmood says after decades of playing games in Afghanistan, it's time for Pakistan to maintain a strictly hands-off policy.
We do not have the capability to actually impose a solution on Afghanistan. And because we do not have that capability, then it doesn't make too much of sense to push one side, and if for some reason that side loses out, then to, you know, have the kind of situation we have right now.
Right now, Pakistan has few friends in Afghanistan. Shouts of death to Pakistan can be heard on the streets of Kabul, now controlled by the Northern Alliance. But many people here say simply walking away from Afghanistan is no solution either. This is one of the official crossing points on the 1,500-mile-long border that separates Afghanistan and Pakistan. It's a chaotic place even when there's no war going on. These days, it's a blur of activity. Afghan refugees, Pakistani merchants, foreign journalists. Some desperately trying to get into Afghanistan, others desperately trying to get out. Ayaz Amir is a columnist with the Pakistani newspaper The Dawn. He says the border that divides the two nations is part reality, part illusion.
Tribes are divided by a border which is really an artificial border on the map. Ethnic ties overlap. Afghanistan depends for all its imports and trade on Pakistan. So a really hands-off policy, as if, you know, to create a cordon sanitaire between the two countries is impossible.
Of course, Pakistan is not the only country to meddle in Afghanistan's affairs. Britain and Russia perfected the craft during the so-called Great Game of the 19th century. Today, the list of nations trying to influence the shape of the next Afghan government includes Iran, Uzbekistan, the U.S., and Russia. Eric Weiner, NPR News, Islamabad.